Christoph Wolff is a preeminent scholar of the music of Bach, and he tells us one traditional misconception in Bach's biography is the view that his move to Leipzig coincided with a fundamental shift of emphasis from instrumental toward vocal composition. Despite the fact that Bach's serious primary commitment to the creation of a cantata repertoire for the Leipzig churches was real, evidence strongly suggests that he continued to engage in instrumental performance and composition. So his appointment in 1729 as director of the Collegium Musicum was but a logical step. This Collegium Musicum, a bourgeois concert enterprise drawing on university student musicians and both amateur and professional forces, had been founded in 1702 by Georg Philipp Telemann and was subsequently directed by his successors. What had hitherto been known as the Telemann Collegium Musicum soon gained an even more distinguished reputation as the famous Bach Collegium Musicum. It clearly represented the focus of Bach's activities for well over a decade until the death of a longtime host of the Collegium concerts, coffee house owner Gottfried Zimmermann. The Collegium Musicum was, without a doubt, the principal forum for Bach's chamber music activities in Leipzig. The Leipzig Collegium offered its concerts on a very regular basis, once a week on Fridays at the Zimmermann Coffee House, during the summer in the afternoon from 4 to 6, and on winter evenings from 8 to 10, and twice weekly on Tuesdays and Fridays during the weeks of the spring and autumn trade fairs. The programs of these ordinary concerts are unknown, but they must have consisted largely of a variety of solo and ensemble instrumental music, as well as vocal chamber pieces. The Collegium concerts often featured guest artists, and it's very likely that most of the musicians who reportedly came to visit Bach in the 1730s were also those who made appearances in the coffee house. Vocal and instrumental pieces by a great variety of composers must have been included as well. Traceable among the surviving relevant performing materials are, for example, compositions by Handel and Locatelli. Further, Bach's name can be found on the list of subscribers to Telemann's flute quartets. And one can safely assume that it was in Bach's interest to supply the Collegium with the best of the newest music available to him. That from an article by Christoph Wolff on the Leipzig chamber music of Johann Sebastian Bach. One note of interest for us is that we learn from various histories of Moravian traditions in America that Moravian immigrants brought their strong tradition of musical performance to America, forming Collegium Musicum societies in settlements like Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, to perform both religious and secular music. These organizations, which included amateur musicians, were central to the vibrant musical life of the Moravian communities in the 18th and 19th centuries. We might be surprised to learn that 5 decades ago, Larry Lipkus, composer in residence and professor of music at Moravian University in Bethlehem, founded a Collegium Musicum on the campus that continues to this day, looking forward to a 50th anniversary celebration in the spring of 2026. Lipkis has been a member of the internationally acclaimed early music ensemble, the Baltimore Consort, since 1986, and he delights in putting together music from different places and times for his students to perform each season. On October 26th, Dr. Lipkis will lead his ensembles in a concert that will take listeners around Europe with favorites like Telemann and surprises like Maddalena Casulana. We had a chance to speak by phone with Dr. Lipkis about the concert and 50 years of early music at Moravian.
It was in 1976 when I began a group called the Collegium Musicum, which really just means a group of musicians who are collegial. They might be associated with a university or institution of some kind. Students, amateurs, professionals, all playing music together. J.S. Bach had a group called the Collegium Musicum when he was in Leipzig. So I began this group in the fall of 1976. We had a little proto group, a sort of pre-Collegium Musicum, in the previous spring, actually the whole previous year. But we officially began in 76, and then I added in 1992 a student vocal ensemble, one on a part for the most part. I would call the Monteverdi Ensemble, basically now known as the Montes. And then a few years after that, I started a Baroque ensemble of instrumentalists playing mostly Baroque music, some Renaissance, and that varies from year to year depending on who's available, but usually harpsichord, cello, flute, violin, recorder, oboe. So those groups, those three groups, have played in the spring ever since 1976. And then, so we're kind of celebrating the 50th anniversary of those groups. We'll put on a big concert. We do this every 5 years. We couldn't do it 5 years ago because of the pandemic. But since, I think, maybe 1991 or 96, we've been having these big parties every 5 years where alums can come back and meet other alums, and we play together, we have lunch, we just get to meet each other, interact, and then we do a concert together with the alums and the current members of the early music groups playing together. And we often do a little Renaissance dancing afterwards. So that's been a long tradition. I should say also, about 10 years ago, we started another group, which has the acronym WIRE, WIRE, which stands for Weird Instrument Renaissance Ensemble. These are students who play the crumhorn and the gemshorn. So the crumhorn is a double reed instrument, sounds kind of buzzy, and the gemshorn is the horn of a goat. And all of those are in different sizes, so we can play four-part harmony with these instruments. So every year, a bunch of students learn how to play them, and we, at Christmas time, we decorate them, we trim them, as it were, and do some caroling up and down Main Street and at the Hotel Bethlehem and the hospital. So we have a really good time with that. And they will probably be performing as well in our grand celebratory concert in the spring of 2026.
That's something to look forward to, and we'll surely want to talk with you more about that, Larry. The concert that's coming up on October 26th is something that you have been doing too regularly. They're often thematic programs.
Right. So this concert just involves two of the groups, the Monteverdi Ensemble and the Baroque Ensemble. So we do always have some kind of theme. This year, the program's called Aspects of Love, a European Tour. So the Monteverdi group are singing five songs related to the topic of love. And honestly, it's not hard to find songs from the Renaissance and Baroque that have something to do with love. That's about 95% of the repertory, I would say, or even more, love songs. But there are different shades of love, different aspects that we're covering. We're integrating them with Baroque pieces from the same country. So we start with Italy. And the first song is by a little-known composer who I think has been unjustly neglected. Her name is Maddalena Casulana, and she's from the 16th century. And what's distinctive about her is she's the first woman to have her music published. And that was in Venice in 1568. So she's celebrated for that. She's also something of a feminist because she published this statement: "These madrigals are published to expose to the world, insofar as it is given to me to do so in the profession of music, the vain error of men who esteem themselves such masters of high intellectual gifts that they think women cannot share them too. So this was from 1568, quite a statement. I think if you listen to the song, you will agree that it's right up there with anything that Monteverdi or his contemporaries, his male contemporaries, would do. It's a wonderful song. The text is very dark and bitter. My heart cannot die. I'd like to kill it. That would please you, but it cannot be pulled out of your breast where it's been dwelling for a long time. And if I killed it, as I wish, I know that you would die and I would die too. It's hard to get really darker, more emotional than that. And she really handles it so beautifully. It's a very riveting song with a lot of color and expressivity to it. So I'm hoping that we can generate a little bit of a buzz about Maddalena Casilano. She's a really wonderful composer. So we're pairing that with a Baroque piece by another relatively unknown composer, Giovanni Lagrenzi, who is also Venetian. I feel he deserves to be better known as well. We're doing a couple of movements from his Trio Sonata in D major, very lovely piece. Then we're moving to France, and we're starting with the Montes, singing a very funny chanson by the premier chanson composer of the 16th century, Clément Jeannequin. So he was kind of the greatest composer in that genre of just songs, usually four-part, five-part songs. And they run the gamut from being songs where you make animal sounds or battle sounds to just flat-out love songs, very elegant songs. And some actually cross the line and get rather bawdy, very, very graphic. We don't really go that far because that would make, I think, our singers and our audience kind of uncomfortable. But with this song, we're going to go right up to that red line, but we don't really cross it. So this is called Martin Manuel son poste au marché, which means Martin is taking his pig to the market. And it tells a very funny tale, and I guess we could call it a cautionary tale, the meaning of which would be that if you are taking your pig to the market and you also want to have a moment of intimacy with your companion, you should make those separate events. You should do them successively and not simultaneously. And I think I'll leave it at that. So that's Martin Manuel, son poste au marché. And by contrast, we have some very elegant pieces by some French composers of the next generation. Robert de Vizet, who was a very well-known lute player. He was the lutenist at the court of the Sun King, Louis XIV. And we have a little duo for a recorder and a flute called Duo Galante. We're doing two movements from that as well. Lovely mid-Baroque pieces. Then we move to Germany, and we're going to have the Montes sing a song by Hassler, Hans Leo Hassler, Das Herz tut mir aufspringen. And this has a very charming text. It's not dark. It's not bawdy. It's basically just, my heart leaps, my mouth sings with joy when I come to my beloved to banter with her kindly, alone with her who I love with all my heart. It's a very heartfelt, simple, lovely, sort of dance-like tune. And we're going to follow that with a piece from a movement from a sonata by Georg Philipp Telemann, who is far and away the most well-known composer of all the ones on our program. Then we move down to Spain, and we go back into the world of the slightly bawdy songs, because this is a song called Cuckoo, 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 and it's by the composer Juan de la Encina, who was not just a composer, but a playwright. He's actually known as the father of Spanish theater. He lived in the 1500s, and he was actually associated with the court of Ferdinand and Isabella, so he goes way back. So this is a song about cuckoldry. So the cuckoo, cuckoo is really the word that you might use to mock someone you believe to be a cuckold, meaning a man who is being cheated on by his wife. So that's sort of the premise of this song, and it's quite lively and full of comedy, I would say. Then we go to England. We end our program in England, and we have a kind of a straight-ahead madrigal by John Wilby, who's an Elizabethan composer, very well regarded. This is called Thus Saith My Chorus Bright. It's a very charming song, kind of bantering between a man and a woman about the meaning of love. It's a really nice way to end the program. We're not quite ending it there, but we follow it with some movements of a sonata by a little-known English composer named William Corbett, who I think should be better known. His music sounds very much in the mainstream of sort of mid-Baroque, like Corelli and composers like that. It's a very lively and charming little piece. He was actually known as a violinist and conductor in the Queen's Theatre of London at the beginning of the 18th century. And we're going to follow it with a piece that has nothing to do with love, but everything to do with Halloween, which is coming up. It's called Black Spirits in White. And this is basically the witch's song from Macbeth. But the words are not by Shakespeare. So back in the day, there were people who would basically borrow Shakespeare's plays and rewrite them and call them their own. Thomas Middleton was one of these. He's really a friend of Shakespeare's. So he wrote a song called Black Spirits and White, which basically is the witch's song from the third act of Macbeth, where the witches gather and cast spells. And so we are going to do that one up, and we have our Montes are going to turn into witches, and we're going to have a steaming cauldron on stage, and they're going to throw all sorts of things into it. And that will be the last thing they sing, and then we conclude with just a lively tune from the English Renaissance called The Buffins. So that's our program. I think it should be appealing to all generations, and we try to keep it as lively and fun as we can.
And you do it in a wonderful space for a program like this, Larry.
We do. It's in Pater Hall at Moravian University, which is really, I think, the most beautiful building on our campus. It has stained glass windows and beautiful original benches from when the Moravians first came in the 18th century. So it's really a charming venue, and we like to perform chamber music there. And I think the acoustics are great for an ensemble of our chamber music in general, early music in particular. So that's our program. We hope you can all come out to hear it Sunday, October 26th at 4 o'clock in Pater Hall at Moravian University.
Dr. Larry Lipkus, who is composer in residence and professor of music at Moravian University in Bethlehem, who founded a Collegium Musicum on the campus that continues to this day, and that ensemble is looking forward to a 50th anniversary celebration in the spring of 2026. In the fall of 2025, it's Aspects of Love, a European tour, an early music concert in Pater Hall on the university campus, and that's Sunday, October 26th at 4 in the afternoon. For more information on the web, moravian.edu, moravian.edu. Aspects of Love, a European tour. Early music from around the continent and England too. Italy, France, Germany, Spain, and England. And that's again Sunday, October 26th at 4 in the afternoon in Pater Hall on the campus of Moravian University in Bethlehem.